I am so excited for my podcast today because one of the things that I always wanted to do with Chat 360 is emphasize local people in the community and local artists. And today, I'm really honored to have Kevin Razzle, and he is an artist, a musician, and a filmmaker. And some of his work is, well, all of his work is so incredibly intriguing to me as an art major. Like, I'm just eating it up. But I wanted to bring him in today. And even though he's not a morning person, here he is on Chat 360. So welcome to you, Raz. I'm going to call you Raz?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So 40 years as an artist, a musician, and a filmmaker, which one started first for you?
Well, primarily artist, for sure, yeah.
And did you go to school to be an art?
No, I'm entirely artist. Self-taught. All started in high school and just developed from there, just pursued my own projects, the things that I wanted to do, and managed to eke out along the way the school of hard knocks, so to speak, and figure it out as I went along.
Yeah.
I've always been envious of people that went to art school because I always wanted to do that. But I ended up, you know, just taking my career my own way. And then a lot of people that go to art school ask, well, how did you do this and do that? I'm like, well, you tell me you went to art school. And a lot of them will say, you know, well, we didn't get placed or we didn't do that or we didn't learn this and learn that. And I thought, well, maybe I didn't miss something there. Maybe there was something to not knowing what I was doing and just doing it anyway. And then you learn as you go.
Well, you know what? That's
my experience.
Actually true creativity, because I don't think you can teach somebody to be an artist.
Correct.
You can certainly give them a background. You can give them art history lessons. You can say, try this in this way or try this medium, but you can't make them an artist. It's just like reading books doesn't make you a teacher. You can read about teaching, but if you don't have that in you, you're never going to be a good teacher. And honestly, I'm looking at your art and I'm thinking, okay, I went to art school. I can't do this. I didn't learn how to do this. I mean, I have my own things that I'm good at, but not like you. So I don't think that's a stigma for you at all, not going to art school.
Yeah, it helps to have the passion to do what you want to do and just figure out your own way. The passion gives you the drive and the determination to just pursue what you want to do. And as you go along, you learn and develop from there.
So you're also a musician.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I started in bands when I was young, you know, out of high school, and kind of continued that, you know, semi-professional local bands for quite some time, trying to do the original thing. And then that kind of spills over into doing the cover band thing, because over the decades, and especially in the Pittsburgh area, you don't survive too long being an original band unless you hit it big somehow, you know, like the Clarks or something or other. So you have to kind of do the music that people want to hear, which is usually cover band stuff. But, you know, keeps you on the stage and keeps you going and keeps me young.
And what kind of music do you play?
It's mostly, you know, 80s, you know, metal, hard rock type of thing, you know, the big hair stuff.
Okay.
Fun party stuff.
That's how Dave Penn knows you so well. He loves that music.
Yes. Well, Dave Penn and I go way back, you know, at the high school days as well, being, you know, big music fans back in the day. For sure.
So when you do cover bands, give me an artist that you was one of your favorites.
Well, you know, personally, I've always been into melodic metal, progressive metal, stuff like Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, you know, Metallica, any of the heavier bands that were melodic that aren't the screaming death metal stuff, you know.
Okay,
where there's
not
still
the real
some
hard
singing
stuff.
And maybe a bit of screaming, but not the angry, what we call Cookie Monster vocals.
Oh, I've never heard that before. That's pretty cool.
You know. Yeah, I don't do that.
And look, is that because you had coffee this morning? Is that how you're able to do that voice?
It helps.
Okay, so where would we be able to listen to your band? Where are you around here in Westmoreland County?
Oh, I knew that question was going to come up. I didn't bring the schedule. We are slated for the Full Throttle show, which is at the Westmoreland Fairgrounds in summer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember the date
at the
moment.
Remember the month.
people could look that up, though. It's going to be a big music festival for the summer in this area. We're Phonic, the band that I sing for.
Okay.
So we'll be at that show, and then we have a few local gigs before that, but I don't have the dates at the moment. Maybe we could post those later.
So yes, we can definitely post that when we figure it out.
Okay, great.
Okay. Now, filmmaker, tell me about that. I rarely talk to anybody who's a filmmaker.
Well, it was a one-time thing. I was co-producer and helped co-direct a film called Painting with Fire, which was a documentary about one of my favorite fantasy artists growing up, Frank Frazetta.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very famous godfather of fantasy art. Acknowledged as one of the original inspirations for just about any fantasy artist, comic artist going today. I mean, everybody's kind of heard of Frank Frazetta. He was a big inspiration. So I did that project, and that was an independent film developed by me and two buddies of mine. Shout out to Lance Laspina and George Davis, who I went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
In Penn Trafford, actually.
I was going to ask you where you went to school.
Yeah, and we all, you know, we grew up in art class together. We were friends, and we all loved Conan and Frank Frazetta. Frank Frazetta's famous for Conan and Tarzan. And
I can picture the graphics in my head.
Yeah,
yes.
Like the Molly Hatchet album covers, if
yes.
you remember those, that,
yes.
that character. He was famous for all that stuff. Well, you know, after we graduated high school, we kept in touch, of course, and we always thought, you know, why is there not a biography or a documentary on Frank Frazetta? I mean, he's one of the great, truly one of the great American illustrators of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was doing it. So we said, hey, why don't we try to do this? I mean, we're all aspiring wannabe filmmakers. So we just got to it, and, you know, before long, we were, you know, in production, independently, struggling through it. But we got our permissions. We got in touch with the family, his wife specifically, who ran his whole estate,
mm-hmm.
and who pretty much all the allowances to do it... Had to come through her.
Okay.
So that worked out fantastic. And so we ended up doing that film. And it won quite a few awards and has been kind of the go-to documentary now on Frank Frazetta.
Probably the only one, right?
The only one that I know of. There's some, you know, YouTube shorts here or there, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of rough, quicker, shorter stuff. But I would have to say that ours is the definitive documentary on Frank Frazetta. So, Painting with Fire.
Well, and you have a lot of, I'm looking at portfolio of a lot of your mural work that you do, and you have a lot of fantasy elements in your work. So
yeah.
He was your mentor, like in your own mind, kind of, as to what direction you went with that?
Perfect way to put it. Now, I couldn't have said it better. Yeah, he was the imaginary mentor until I met him.
Oh, you got to meet him?
And then, of course, you know, in meeting him, we were not disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fantastic guy, old school Brooklyn guy, so he was really interesting to meet him. We had a great time. We actually shot the film at their estate, their family estate, for 2 weeks, and we got to stay there.
Oh, wow.
And actually visit his studio. We kind of became part of the family during the time we were there. They're an old school Italian family, so they like their doors were wide open. You know, we'd have dinner with them and be free to roam the estate and just kind of walk in and out where we wanted to. It was amazing to meet your hero and to find out he's a great guy. He's a funny guy. And we just had a wonderful time. Got done what we wanted to get done.
I would have to say my feeling, though, from you is that you are first and foremost an artist. Would
Correct.
You say that's true?
Yeah.
More
yeah.
so than a musician and a filmmaker?
I would say so, yes.
And I'm looking through, and I mentioned this before, you know, slides of your work, and I'm amazed. I mean, it's incredible. So I know you have, do you have some projects going right now?
Yes, correct, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the pictures that I saw, a video, and I'm going to really try to put this on the website, is the mural work that you did at the Children's Hospital. And you took this blank canvas, this room that was for kids, but was very, what the walls were just like off-white. And you turned it into like a magical forest. It was absolutely incredible, and I really want people to be able to see it. So when did you do that project?
That project was about 2 years ago, if I recall correctly, as time is counting.
And how long did it take you to do that whole room?
That was definitely a longer project. That room extended into three rooms, actually. So samples that I gave you were separate because they were big files.
Yes.
But the three rooms that you saw were actually three rooms that worked together. It started off in the lobby, and we turned the lobby into a kind of an enchanted forest path that you can sit and find things as you sat there waiting for your appointment or whatever. And then when you went through the other treatment rooms, that changed into like a darker forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately you went into the final room, which was the big wizard castle kind of scenery. So it was a three-part thing. And to get back to your question, that took about probably 3 to 4 months of development from start to finish.
And what's your process? Do you sketch everything out basically on the wall, or do you kind of freeform it?
Our process always starts with room photos from the actual hospital rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take those room photos and I'll do photo comps, you know, in Photoshop. And then we do a presentation.
To kind of let them know what your idea is.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then they'll go through a process where they either approve it or they do revisions and suggestions. And then we make those changes and then go to the final, which I do entirely on computer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets turned over to an install team once it's printed up on vinyl and then installed. I rarely get to see the rooms myself. I'm almost always on the computer at home working and rarely get to be on site to see the final thing. So it's a magical process when I finally get to see one.
Oh, and I'm sure.
And they're in photos or videos like you saw. I've only been in a handful of the rooms in real life.
And how critical are you? You made me think of something because I still haven't gotten used to the fact that sometimes I can be out in a store somewhere and my voice comes over the PA system. Maybe I'm in a commercial ad or something and I'm still not used to hearing my own voice. How critical are you of your work?
You know, that's a good question because during the process, I'm very, very critical, very detail oriented. You know, it's got to be right. It's got to be right up to the last minute. But once you get to the point where it's time to go to print and then get installed, you have to let that go. And that's can be difficult, but I've learned to be objective, let it go. And it's never going to be my perfection, but it will get to a point where, you know, the people seeing it will enjoy it. They won't see the perfections, hopefully. They'll just enjoy the whole experience as it is.
It's hard to be objective when you're an artist because intrinsically, artists are emotional beings.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to be able to let go of those feelings? Because I'm still in that mode. I'm still very critical of everything. I haven't learned to let go.
That's a very good question because, wow, only in the last 10 years or so have I learned to be more, I don't know if the word mature is...
Accepting?
Objective. Learn to let it go, that it's not about me. It's not about my perfection or my work, so to speak. In fact, all the work that we're discussing at the moment, the Children's Hospital work, is essentially anonymous. I mean, my name's not attached to it.
Oh.
I mean, I'm the behind the scenes guy and I don't sign stuff there. You know, it's pretty much anonymous work. So you learn from that perspective to let it go and what it is. Learn to let it go and let it be what it is and hope people enjoy it. And the feedback is always wonderful. So far, there's been no problem with that.
And where around here in Westmoreland County could we see some of your work?
Well, Lawrenceville is the biggest, probably most numerous rooms that there is for the project, but it's in different hospitals and all the children's hospitals in Pittsburgh, their branches, and different states as well. Cleveland Clinic is a big one. That would be Ohio. So it's in a lot of different hospitals.
So do you mostly do hospitals?
Yeah, primarily at this point. I mean, we occasionally will do what I would call side projects of, you know, like a college or, you know, a room in a doctor's office or some oddball kind of commission here or there.
Or a morning show DJ's office.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd like that in the building, but hey, we could try it. So now when I'm looking at these slides, these are prints of your work.
Mm-hmm.
Are they available then for people to purchase?
Not at the moment. This was a PDF quickly put together for a portfolio at the moment to show you some of the work, but I am preparing this stuff for sure to be available to the public for prints and for commissions and et cetera.
Okay, because I guess what I was trying to ask and I didn't come out and say it is, are you just murals or are you a lot of other things?
Definitely very diverse. I pretty much do a little bit of everything. I've done everything from comic book work to illustration to design to murals, T-shirts, tattoos. If it's creative and it's art, I've probably had a hand in it.
Here's a question. You talked about the big Italian family for your fantasy mentor. Is it talent in your family that another person had art talent?
It's a very odd thing. The talent seems to come out of nowhere. Me and my younger brother both have quite a bit of artistic talent. But it doesn't seem to be very traceable in the rest of our family as far as parents and aunts and uncles, as it were, grandpas, grandmothers. It's not really there.
So you're an art savant.
I suppose you could call it that. Not just not sure where it comes from.
Now, you read comic books, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
Right,
yeah.
As a child. Mm-hmm. Who was your favorite comic book?
Well, my favorite's always been Conan, the Barbarian stuff. I'm not a big superhero guy, but I like a little bit of that stuff. But a lot of like science fiction and fantasy stuff would be, you know, Lord of the Rings, Conan, Tarzan,
yes,
that type of material.
Now, you are working on a website, but we do have an email address for you in case people are interested and they want to take a look at your art or they want to contact you to do a job for them, a project, right?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, let me know what that is.
krasel0313@gmail.com.
Okay, and it's the letter K, RASEL, 0313@gmail.com. So if anybody listening to this podcast is interested in checking out this fabulous artwork or having a Raz do a project, you can get in contact with him that way. And then soon, hopefully, you will have a website where we can see more examples of your work posted.
Yes, absolutely.
The next time you're out singing is going to be in the summertime.
Correct.
Nothing before then.
Well, there's a few local clubs, but at the moment I don't have that schedule.
Okay.
But I do know of the Full Throttle Festival, which is at Westmoreland Fairgrounds,
uh-huh,
I believe, in the summer. I'm not even sure which month, June or July.
We just know it's
Look
not
it
in
up.
August because that's the fair, right? So... Okay, well, it has been so amazing talking to you today. I mean, you are so talented. Just love to share this with everybody, and hopefully my listeners can get a glimpse of your talent, which is off the charts. And don't forget to look for his documentary called Painting with Fire. And could they find that on YouTube?
I believe so, yes. I haven't checked lately within the last year or so, but it should be easily found.
So anyone who is listening to this who is considering an art career, I'm going to close out the podcast with some advice from you. What would you tell the up-and-coming young artist?
That's easy. Follow your passion. Learn what you can. If you want to go to school, go to school. But if you're really passionate about what you want to do, you'll find out how to do it one way or the other. In today's world, especially with, you know, YouTube and the net, you can learn anything. You can look up anything. There seems to be a tutorial for anything you can imagine. So it's very easy these days to have access to learning tools to get you going. Just follow your passion, do what you love to do, and target the businesses or potential commissions that you think you might be interested in following through with and see what happens and be persistent.
Is it important for them to pick a niche right away, or is it better for them to experiment?
I think a niche is a good thing. I knew what my targets were very specifically when I was young. You know, I went right after the Conan stuff or the Frazetta stuff or whatever it was that I was interested in. So that helped because the publishers and or people that I was working with or got jobs with were interested in that type of material as well. So it was a good match. But I would say experiment as well. I mean, definitely. These days with, you know, if you're into Photoshop or Illustrator for, you know, computer art or graphic design, there is so much to experiment with there. And so many resources available to learn that.
So no excuses.
No excuses. I'll tell you what. I mean, in this day and age, you really could do anything and you could find a way to do it. Just, you know, if you got a question, Google it, you know, or look it up online. Or we didn't have those resources, you know, decades ago. I mean,
we did not.
We had to reach out to real people and
read books, go to the library. Oh, those were the days, my friend. All right. Thank you again, Kevin Raz Razzle. 40 years as an artist, musician, and filmmaker, and it's been such a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you so much, Laura. Appreciate this. I don't get out of the studio much.
Hence why you're not a morning person and you needed a big cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.